Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that brings you the spooky all year long. I'm your spirited host, Jennifer, a professional medium and a teller of ghost stories. This week's episode will be a little different, dear listener. I'm currently traveling and attending the Oregon Ghost Conference this weekend in Seaside, Oregon. My podcast has a vendor booth at the conference, so if you happen to be in the area, I hope you can stop by and meet me. There is also an I Talk to Ghosts live show on stage on Saturday, March 23rd, and I'm super excited to share my work with a live audience. Since I'm traveling, this episode will be a callback to the spookiest stories I have found for you so far. Enjoy the chills, and I'll be back next week with the podcast's regular format. In the meantime, I'm sure the ghosts will keep you company. Enjoy. To celebrate this year's Oregon Ghost Conference, here's a brand new story for you to hear from last year's event, submitted by Seth Michael and Kristen. Thank you for your spooky story. My family and I were staying at a condo in Seaside, Oregon, while attending the 2023 Oregon Ghost Conference. I'm part of a paranormal investigation team, so it's somewhat common to have an interesting experience while at the conference. I mean, it's an event that hosts haunted tours, seances, and ghost investigations. You've come to the right place for the paranormal. As I said, my family was staying at a condo nearby, and it didn't take long for things to get weird. The first night there, I awoke suddenly in the middle of the night. I saw a figure walking from room to room, shutting off any of the lights that had been left on. The darkness moved with them, so I couldn't quite see who was doing this. I assumed it was my mom, and I went back to sleep. However, in the morning, when we chatted the next day, my mom said she never got up the night before. What my mom did remember was waking up to the room being abnormally freezing cold, despite the heater working in her room. We were gone the rest of the day to enjoy the conference, and later that night, I exchanged a few texts with my husband. He had ended with, "I love you, good night," and I placed my phone on the bathroom counter before taking a shower. Afterward, I picked up my phone to discover a few extras in my conversation with my husband. After he told me goodnight, there was a new reply from me to him that said, "She's goddamn busy." To which he replied with a question mark. I laughed and thought someone in my family must have played a little joke on my phone, but when I went to confront them about it, everyone was either very engaged in what they were doing or sound asleep. No one was waiting with anticipation over a prank they had orchestrated. And then I realized my phone had a fingerprint lock, and no one knew the PIN code either. I called a few good friends of mine, also paranormal investigators, to see if they would come over and check out the space I was staying in. My good friend is a medium, and he sensed a lot of energy swirling around the space, similar to something he would feel with a portal. Later on that night, my daughter was texting on her own phone, sharing with a friend the spooky events that had happened that evening. Mid-conversation, she witnessed her phone replying on its own in the thread with an emoji that simply conveyed, "Shh."
Thank you.
I had just moved into an old Victorian house on the outskirts of town. I was drawn to its charm and its history. The first few nights were uneventful in my new home, and I began to settle in and become familiar with the creaks and groans of my old new home. One chilly evening, I was jolted awake by a series of rhythmic knocks. Three distinct taps piercing the silence of my bedroom. I lied there for a moment, disoriented and unsure if I had dreamt the knocking sound. Convinced it was just my imagination, I nestled back into my blankets, attempting to dismiss the eerie noise. But then it happened again. Three deliberate knocks, louder this time. My heart quickened as a chill ran down the back of my neck. There was a cadence to these knocks, as if someone or something was trying to communicate. With trepidation, I got out of bed and tiptoed to my bedroom door. The mysterious sound seemed to be coming from the hallway just outside my bedroom. The knocks persisted, each one echoing like a small drumbeat. As I reached the door, the knocking ceased, leaving in its place an unsettling stillness. I hesitated for a moment before summoning the courage to open my door. The hallway was dimly lit by the pale glow of the moon filtering through the curtains. Nothing seemed out of place. I took a deep breath, reassuring myself that it must have been the wind or some other ordinary explanation. Just as I was about to return to bed, the knocks resumed, this time echoing from deeper within my house. I followed the sound, my steps hesitant. The knocks led me through the corridors of the old house, growing louder as I advanced in the dark. Eventually, I found myself in front of the door to my soon-to-be library. I hadn't unpacked yet, and I knew the shadows would provide plenty of places to hide among the boxes in there. The door was slightly open. The knocking continued from inside. I took a deep breath and pushed open the door. The room was indeed shrouded in darkness, save for an even darker figure in the corner of the room. As my eyes adjusted to the gloom, I saw the silhouette of a figure in shadow, sitting in an old rocking chair. The chair was rocking slowly back and forth, catching a loose floorboard beneath it, causing the knocking sound. As soon as I realized the source of the noise, the shadow figure vanished. The stillness of the house now felt especially heavy, as if I was very much being watched. Not knowing what to do, I wasn't going to hang around and investigate or wait for the shadowy figure to return. So, I headed back to the safety of my bedroom. As I lied there in the darkness, I tried to convince myself I wasn't listening for the knocking to return, that it all must have been a half dream or something, at least the dim light playing tricks on me, and my brain had filled in the rest of the details. And then I remembered, I don't own a rocking chair. I'm a corrections officer at a county jail in Northwest Alabama. I work a 12-hour night shift. Most nights are calm and not much happens. Sometimes a single shift can make you feel like you've been there for weeks. Some of those calm nights are not really all that calm. We have two holding cells in the front of the jail, used to house inmates that have recently been booked. And we have another room up front we call the pink room. Due to the walls and ceiling being painted a hot pink color, because a former sheriff thought hot pink was a calming color. It's our drunk tank, equipped with a camera for observation. Everyone hates this room. One night, after lights out when everyone was asleep, it was around 2:45 a.m. I heard a loud bang in one of the holding cells, like someone was hitting or kicking the door. This would have been a normal noise if anyone had been inside one of them. But my partner and I had moved everyone out of the two holding cells just a few hours before. I thought it might be the guy we were keeping in the pink room for medical observation. But when I looked over at the monitor for the camera in there, he was sound asleep. I went over to the doors of the holding cells to investigate. I lifted the heavy curtains on the window so I could see into each one. But there was no sign of anything. I figured I was just hearing things since that noise was so commonly heard at all times of the day and night. The place was completely silent until about 3:05 a.m. I started hearing the noise it makes when a door is unlocked from the control room. There is a door that leads to the kitchen and the recreation yard. That was the door that sounded like it was unlocked. I radioed my partner, who was in the control room, and asked if she had unlocked this door. She said that she hadn't touched the computer for the last 2 hours. Again, I thought it was a common noise to be heard. The silence was playing tricks on me. Then I heard it again. Except this time, it sounded like the front door. I looked over at the monitors for the front door and saw nothing. But on the monitor for the pink room, I could see the screen started to get fuzzy, like static. Then, it went completely black for a few seconds. When the camera came back on, the inmate was still sleeping in the same spot. But everything he had in there with him, his cup, shoes, blanket, etc., was scattered across the whole room. I would have heard him moving and throwing things, but it was completely quiet for those few seconds when the camera was black. After that, I decided I didn't want to be alone anymore. I went up to the control room with my partner and started telling her what was going on. She just laughed and said, "Must have been Christine." She told me that Christine was an inmate that had died in the old jail next door, and that the reason she haunts the new jail is because the buildings are connected. She told me about the numerous things that had happened while she was on shift, including actual sightings of the ghost called Christine. She said that Christine has gray hair down to her shoulders and wears a white nightgown. She also said that Christine can be seen walking down the hallways on the cameras, inside the cells with her hands on the bars looking through them, and sometimes you can see her face from the windows outside. This event took place when I was 8 years old. It was springtime and around early evening, almost dark outside, when my mom asked me to put my jacket in my bedroom. I walked down the hall towards my room, opened the bedroom door, and tossed my jacket onto my cluttered bedroom floor. I turned around to leave. As I was closing my bedroom door, I caught a glimpse of something. I saw a hand reaching out from the gap in the closet door. The hand was low to the ground and seemed to be grabbing at the air in the room. It was a hand and part of an arm only. The rest of it faded into nothingness. I stood there frozen, watching this hand reaching from the darkness of my closet, searching for something. It stopped moving mid-motion, as if realizing it had been seen. Then it slowly moved backwards into the darkness of my closet. After that, I'm not joking, I didn't sleep in my room for at least a year. I would just sleep in my brother's room on the mattress we used for guest sleepovers. And then my parents bought us bunk beds. I was so afraid to sleep in my own room, thinking that hand would try to find me. I never saw it again. I don't know what it was or how it was connected to the area I lived in, but I know what I saw. I have tried to block this memory from my mind due to the nerve-wracking experience. About a year ago, I was backpacking across Yellowstone National Park along with three of my friends. We were hiking on the Mount Washburn Spur Trail, where another hiker had recently mysteriously disappeared. We were probably 4 miles into the trail when we decided to venture off. We walked around half a mile off course. John wanted to take a bathroom break, and he wandered off to find a tree. My two other friends and I heard him call out, so we rushed over. We asked if he was okay, and he said, "Yeah, but look." Standing before us, about 15 yards away, was an almost immaculate white staircase. All four of us wanted to immediately investigate the odd staircase in the middle of nowhere, in the woods. Despite it being clear and blue skies, as we approached it, the world around us turned dark and gloomy. We stood at the base of the stairs, gazing up towards the top. It led upwards about 30 steps. We decided that two of us should go up and two stay down. I unfortunately agreed to go up with John, and we told Hunter and Cody to stay put and keep watch. John and I ascended the stairs. The lush and vibrant forest turned creepy and dark. We looked behind us and could see our friends, so we continued ascending. When we reached the small platform at the top, we were practically holding each other due to the atmosphere. We looked around and saw nothing odd. Until we looked into the trees. There, we saw what looked like creatures straight out of hell. Red eyes, long limbs, with twisted and distorted faces. One creature saw us and let out the most horrific, ear-piercing scream. John and I snapped out of our trance and bolted down the stairs. When we reached the bottom, our friends were panic-stricken. Hunter said, "You've been gone for 2.5 hours. Once you turned back around on the stairs and went up, you vanished." We told them we were only up there 10 minutes. Cody looked at his watch and then at mine. There was, in fact, a 2.5 hour difference between our watches. My friends and I rarely speak of this traumatic encounter. I don't know what to think, but I'm sure the stairs and the man that went missing are connected. Are you enjoying your ghostly visit? If so, please follow, like, comment, and share. The ghosts may be talkative, but they are lousy at marketing, so every click helps. Tell your friends, and please leave a kind review so that others might join us. The spirits, and I thank you. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this special episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed the ghost stories that I shared with you this evening. Did you have a favorite? Please reach out and let me know. And of course, join me again next week when I return with the show's regular spooky format. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night. If you listen to my podcast, you have to be like me. You love listening to spooky stories. I'm excited to say that Audible is a sponsor of this podcast. Audible's storytelling keeps me company no matter what other task I'm doing. And you know what? Listening can also keep my stress at bay because my mind is being drawn into the stories I'm listening to. Sign up and try it now by visiting audibletrial.com/ghosts. I'll also have a link for you in my episode description notes that you can click on. Happy spooky readings!